Blog Talk Radio.
الحمد لله رب العالمين وبسم الله الرحمن الرحيم واشهد ان لا اله الا الله واشهد ان محمد رسول الله. Dear brothers and sisters and Hajja, you got your own stage now. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh. How's it going, beautiful? Good. Yeah, that's what's up. So what we're going to do is we're going to play this first piece. It's actually about 17 minutes, and the title of it is a TED Talk, and the title of it is Find Yourself by Helping Others. Find Yourself by Helping Others. And then you and I, we inform everybody we're going to have a short broadcast today. It's all about auto mechanics today. So I got to pick up my car before the shop closes up. And that's going to be it, so I can ride with a sense of safety and security. You feeling that? Wait. Hey. New digs. Yeah. She hooked me up. I just said, nah, we don't need to have the speakers all on the side and things like that. But see, that's your mama's work right there. Your mama, she came in and she did that Busy Beaver thing, man, and she just bang. So let me take you out for a second. So all that new neatness back there, she said, she looked at it, she said, look at your books. Your books ain't straight. They all crooked. You know, so I'm satisfied with it being, you know, a professor's office. Okay, well, you know, you go into a professor's office, books all over the desk, they turn left, right, and center. It's good. No, I think I lost. So, yeah. So, you know, she's been busy. You haven't been over here since we went through these changes. So I guess we can tell everybody else. It's all done. I mean, we got the electric, the floor, the lighting, the recessed lighting, the new furniture. You got hanging pictures and ornamentation. You know what you women do. You women, you know, once we turn y'all loose, and it's like plateau, right? So that's good. So, okay, you know I could talk to you all day, but we have to move on down the road. Okay, so what we're going to do, we're going to play this TED Talk clip, and it's about finding yourself by helping others. And inshallah, then Hajja and I, we will come in for a conversation. We'll also be inviting you in for that conversation. So your commentary in the text, we want to recognize those who are checking in early. Alhamdulillah, I think you know that person right there. Alhamdulillah, Kalika, if you don't know, you need to get to know her. She's great. Brother Jerome, ever present, alhamdulillah. And Sean Farad, alhamdulillah. Assalamu alaikum to all of you. Glad you all are with us, and so really stay with this clip. It's longer than our usual, about 17 minutes, but it's worth the hearing. You have to get people's story. You know those TED Talks, they usually don't mess with you unless you really got something to say. So inshallah, I pray we can enjoy this together. So let me go ahead and share that right now. Let's see. If I got to take it out, right? Okay.
Okay. A few ups and downs and twists and turns. It's an honor and a privilege to be on the road.
with depression. I felt my nerves trapped.
Thank you.
Now, let's see. I just got this text from Joel that says stream unavailable, stream suspended for policy violations. Yeah, I feel like that's a late whistle from whatever it was that I said last week. And I see it's not coming through. Let's see. So, Joel, call me. I'm just gonna do it live. Whatever. Just call me, Joel. Oh, so the platform itself is saying that?
Yeah. Yeah, it's right. Because you're sharing a YouTube video through your mind.
Uh-huh. And
so that's most likely why that is
do that. Oh, is that right? Okay, well, like a lot of folks went home after that. Okay. Okay, look, what we're going to do, since we got short time here together right now, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and just take it out. And then you and I will have.
Because the clock is still going on the StreamYard. Did you check to see if it's even playing at all on Facebook or YouTube?
No, that's above my pay grade, right? I can only click two buttons at a time, and then we go from there. So now we're what you and I'll do. We'll go ahead and have our conversation, since we only have about 45 minutes or so together. Okay, so Joel says we're back on YouTube. So, okay, so what we're going to do, I'm going to go ahead and pull you in. I'm going to kill my speaker on this side. And now your mic is open on, your mic is open on Blog Talk.
Okay.
So, all right, let's see if we can get back on track here. So let me get you back inside here. All right. And so you're good on Blog Talk, right?
I am.
I'm good on seeing each other right now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. So that being said, what's happening in your world?
Well, pretty much the topic that we were speaking on. I had an event yesterday, my nonprofit organization called She Win, We Win, where it is an organization that I created out of a space that I'm definitely going to go back and listen to the TED Talk on my own.
It's right up that alley. It's there.
Yeah. But it came out as a result of a method that you taught me years ago, which is called the Moses Method of, you know, anything that you seek to create is in you being that for someone else, something else,
yeah.
Right? So it's in my toolbox of things that I live by. So follow your bliss, Moses Method, you know, please and pleasing, these are things in my toolkit that I go to, like when I'm having a moment, it's like, okay, which one of these tools do I use for this situation that I'm in? So in the early stages of my business,
I put the link in the chat.
Awesome. Okay.
So
good.
That people can still go and find it themselves
and check it out. So in the early stages of my business, there was no movement. This was like 2018, and I was just trying because I was venturing into doing the hair business. Hair business is almost like, you know, that everyone is going to, you know, every black woman is going to be looking for someone to do their hair. So it didn't require me to do a bunch of marketing at all. It was just kind of like, you do it, tell a friend, they were going to find you. Because it's like saying you sell water. Everyone's going to need water, right? Mm-hmm. When you step out into the marketplace offering something that is not what we call, big air quotes, essential, there's a marketing step that happens. There is a research where you have to find the people that are seeking what it is that you have to offer, or you present it in a way where they're like, I didn't even think I needed that, but after having my experience with you, I think I do, right? Mm-hmm. And so I was just having this struggle. And plus my mindset was very different around business because, you know, the comparative aspect of when you're building a business, you compare yourself to what someone else is doing and you're looking at their success and you're assuming that yours should look like that, as opposed to recognizing that your journey is still going to be very unique to you. Even if you're selling the exact same thing, the journey is going to be very different. So I was laying in the bed one day, really at my, like, wits end, like, okay, well, maybe I need to do something else. You start to think of, well, what's the thing that everybody's buying? You want to do that. But it didn't feel authentic to me. And so I, you know, that's what inspired came up for me was the Moses Method. I said, well, are you the kind of supporter of other entrepreneurs the way you seek to be supported? And I had to say, no, I'm not. So I wanted to become that. It's like, let me put this theory to work. Like, let me become the supportive customer that I seek to be in business. And so I started to find other women entrepreneurs online. I created a post, and I told them to tag a small business under here that I would spotlight on my page. And so what I would do is I literally would, it was hours a day. I mean, one day a week, I do it just every Saturday. When they tag them, I would go to their page. I would make a post, and I would post their picture and their business, and I'll say, woman business spotlighting amazing black-owned businesses. And I'll put them up there and tag them. And it would be a surprise to them because it wasn't like that I knew them. It was just somebody had tagged them, and I wanted to spotlight that business. So anybody who saw that would go to see this business. And I would do this every Saturday for about 3-5 months. It was a good stretch of time. And so then the next step was, okay, how do I increase this? And, you know, Allah put it on my heart, like, create a marketplace that's free for women to vend their business. And I was like, how am I going to do that? I don't have no money. I barely got money for my business. I don't know how this is going to happen. And it was just at that point I was like, okay, I'm going to trust it. Like, I'm not going to worry about the how. I'm just going to do what's asked of me to do it because it's a good thing to do. So I did. And when we did it, it was like it was wall-to-wall packed as a result. I found a site that was affordable within it. The system that I put in place was for the women to pay a deposit and they would get that deposit back. So I used that deposit to get the space, and then that's what got us rolling. Then, of course, the plans of things started to unfold, and then COVID hit. And so I wasn't able to do the event again, but I did do it virtually. And then in that same vein, I was like, you know, I think I need to make this a 501c3 so that we could qualify for funding. So after that, right before COVID or in the midst of the shift of things, Fahima Salahuddin Floyd came down from Bakersfield because she's masterful at 501c3 organization. and Aisha Williams Islam, you know, we camped out in my living room and we went through the process. I scrounged up the coins to get us official because you got to pay the fees and all of these different things. And we were legit. We became a 501c3. So as life goes on and as my own business was going, it was hard to juggle both of them because I was trying to keep up. Little pieces of my business was growing, but I didn't have the energy to focus fully on it. And so I was kind of like, well, I'm going to release it. I'm going to give it a time out until I build this one up, then I'll come back to it. And Allah has a way of just being like, nope. Thought you was going to put it on pause, but no. And you just have to learn to manage. And your daughter-in-law, my sister, she found a space where they're available for nonprofit organizations. And so I was like, okay, let's go for it. So I put ourselves on the calendar. At first, I was trying to aim for early in the year in March, but I was like, that's just too soon, too fast, too much. And I knew I couldn't manage getting it done in that time. So I said, we'll push it out around this Thanksgiving holiday time when people are doing more shopping. So gathered up the board. We started to meet. And, you know, life still was lifing the whole time. There were many opportunities where I was like, we're not going to do it. But, you know, we stayed the course and made it happen. And we pulled it off this weekend. And so, alhamdulillah, I'm recognizing how to manage it. But I also recognize how the women in the space really saw how we value them as entrepreneurs. Like, them being vendors was not, you know, at most events, people utilize vendor fee booths to fund the event, as opposed to it being a space that is focused on the business. And so we were creating a space that is focused on the business and really giving them a spotlight. And we have a very specific system that allows the money to rotate through the room. So when you purchase from a business, you get a raffle ticket. And that raffle ticket enters you into the hourly. We do a rotation of the hourly raffle because each business has to donate one item. And so when we pull the raffle ticket, that business comes up, tells about their business, pulls the ticket, and if you purchased within that hour, you qualify to get that item as a result of you buying in there. So you're not just walking through. And so it's always exciting to see the surprise on people's face that as a result of them shopping with a vendor, they also got a free gift from another vendor as a result of it.
Mm.
And so that system is really what, isn't it though? You know what inspired that is the diaper raffle that happens at baby showers.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So at a baby shower, when you bring in diapers, they would give you a raffle ticket, and that would enter you into get certain gifts. So I was like, well, what if I did that with the vendors, right? And so that's really a part of that system that allows it to really work. So even people who purchase from more than one vendor have a greater opportunity to get another item from another vendor. So it's always great to see their faces light up as a result of it. But I realized that the system works. Like the Moses method for anyone that's on here, because I think about any and everything that I do as a coach or that I do as a teacher, in any of those spaces, that if there's something that I really want to understand, like my healing journey and my spiritual growth journey is because I said I'm going to create spaces for women who are seeking that same thing because it forces me to be a student of it. It puts me in the space of accountability and conversation. Yes.
Yeah. Let me go ahead and run down ever so briefly what the Moses method actually is.
Yeah.
So in terms of, let me see, I can find it. Yeah. Okay. Bismillah. What the Moses method is based on the story of Musa, alayhi salatu wasalam, that part of his story where he was on the lam, if you will, running from the forces and authorities of Pharaoh before he was a prophet, and he found himself in a very challenging situation without anything. And I want to just read a translation or an expression of these verses The verses are 28, chapter 28, verses 22 through 24. And the way that it begins, there are four steps involved. And the first step is to be sincere. The first sincere, and I say also innocent, because he was innocent of any, malice of forethought in the light of what happened with him. He hit a man, the man died, and, you know, it's almost like he's saying, well, I didn't hit you that hard, or it wasn't my intention to do that. So based on his intention, it's not the case. But then he came back through, the guy he was trying to help before, he found that, oh, you're the troublemaker, but he was one of his own kind. A lot of lessons in that, if you want to talk about Gaza and the rest of that. But the point is, the first step in order to be able to get the benefit from this Moses method is you have to be innocent. It's very, very important. A longer conversation, but one of the quick things, innocent doesn't mean you're sinless. Innocent doesn't mean you're sinless. Right. That's not even possible. It's not possible for human beings to be sinless. Be real clear on that. The Hadith of Qudusi, it says and establishes very clear. God says, all of you sin by day and by night. Ask me for forgiveness and I will forgive you. Right? So Allah is all forgiving, most merciful, and Allah forgives as often as you ask for forgiveness. It's only when you stop asking for forgiveness that you don't get forgiveness, period. I mean, that's it. So don't think that you know God from that perspective. Oh, God will never forgive me for that, blah, blah, blah. But remember this, God says, I am as my servant expects me to be, right? Now, a servant of God wouldn't say, God is never going to forgive me. No, not a servant of God. But it does say, God, it says that, oh, okay, well, that's what you think? Okay, well then, so be it, right? But let's move past that. So just understand that innocent doesn't mean that the person is sinless. It simply means that they are sincere to Allah and to, for us as Muslims, to the faith. Now, the second step after that, because this is what's done in the process, the verse says, then when he turned his face towards the land of Madian, he said, I do hope that my Lord will show me the smooth and straight path, right? So the point is, he was seeking God's guidance. So that's another thing. First thing, be sincere and innocent in that sense. Don't have any malice or any, you know, deviant ways of thinking and being, et cetera. You're trying to deceive and trick and abuse and manipulate others. No, be innocent. Okay, after that, seek the guidance of God. Seek the guidance of God. That's the next thing, right? And then the next verse says, verse 23 of 28, it says, and when he arrived at the watering place in Madian, he found there a group of men watering their flocks, and beside them he found two women who were keeping back their flocks. He said, what is the matter with you they said, we cannot water our flocks until the shepherds take back their flocks, and our father is a very old man. So they couldn't water their own flock for all the reasons that they just explained. And then it says, it says to us then that the third step is to help someone without what you even have, right? So it's like you see someone in need, and it's especially good, I would say, in light of this principle, it's especially good for you to provide from what you have for and give what the other in need doesn't have, right? There may be some things that, there may be other ways and other people and other, there are as many ways of helping as there are needy people. But when you help someone, who doesn't even have what you have, then that's particularly strong based on this principle, right? And so then it says, so he watered their flocks for them, right? So that's how he helped them. So he watered their flocks for them, Then he turned back into the shade and said, "Oh, my Lord, I am in need and desperate need of any good that you would send," right? So that's mm-hmm. Moses saying, I don't, he's telling you what the nature of his condition is. So he's saying, I don't have anything, right? But he did, going back to the third step, he did have what the women didn't have, his masculine strength, his male strength, to give them what they needed at that time, right? But in his perception and in his dua, you would read and infer from it that I don't have any good. So I'm willing to receive any good that you say. What does that mean? I don't have any good, right? But that's the condition. So we can be in a condition where we think we don't have, but in reality we have what we don't even know that we have, that Allah has left. So I'm sure Moses wasn't calculating any of saying, "Oh well, I got this, and they don't even have that." And then, he was just following his good character. He was just following his sincere desire to see that person in a better condition, right? And I don't have the in front of me. Let me see if I can get to it real quick on verse 25 of 28. See how quickly this will work out for me. Let's see, 28.
Is the dua in that verse?
The dua is that is in that verse.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right,
uh-huh, I'm thinking about the woman, right? Because that's mm-hmm. the next thing, right? So I read verse 25. It says, after one of the damsels, remember there were two women, one of the damsels came back to him walking bashfully. That always strikes me because I can just see it, right? I can just see her, you know, that shy, the gaze yeah. is lowered. But, you know, she's still saying with her body language, I do like you, though. You know what I'm saying? So I always get that, right? She said, "My father invites you that you may that he may reward you for having watered our flocks for us." So when he came and narrated the story, this is my the car people calling me to tell me the car is ready. So I'm gonna send him the voicemail. Let's get back here. Let's see. Took my screen from me. All right. This says so when he came to him and narrated the story, the father says, "Fear you not. Well have you escaped from the unjust people." And then one of the damsels spoke up. It says, "Oh, dear father, engage him on wages. Truly the best of men for thee to employ is the man who is strong and trusty." This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Continue to teach us, al-rijal qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa. He's still teaching us what it means to be a man in this, because Moses was acting as a man should act in the interest of the woman. And so the voice of the woman, they say damsel, is being used to do that. And he said, then verse 27, he said, "I intended to wed one of my daughters to you on the condition that you served me for 8 years. But if you complete 10 years, it will be a grace from you. But I intend not to place you under difficulty, though you will find me," and that is, "you will find me indeed if Allah wills, one of the righteous." So Moses got a contract. Moses got a contract. He got a wife. He got a job. He got a place to stay, a 10-year contract out of that situation. And I remind us all again, where you talked about not knowing how you're going to accomplish or go about doing this, that, or the other. But then you decided, well, look, I'm not going to focus on the details. I'm not going to focus on the what, when, where, and whys. I'm going to lean into, you know, the faith of this. And this is the thing. Leaning into that faith is leaning into your faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We got another conversation at a longer time frame, but it literally is this doubtlessness, to come to this doubtlessness is to just be matter of fact about it. It's not, look, if it was easy, everybody could do it. But the point is that you have to get to that. You have to, and there's the power is in the ability to do that. The power is in the ability to shut down your mind from what about this? What about that? What about this? What about that? This maybe this ain't gonna work. If I do this, then look what's gonna happen. Shut up. Right? So it's like you plan the best you can. As it says, you know, trust in, tie your camel and trust in Allah. Tie your camel is, you got to have a plan. You got to have a plan, right? Whenever Allah decrees a thing, he simply says to it, be and it is. That decree is his intention and his plan. Once he has his plan, all he does says, he says to the plan, be and it is. Okay, the difference between you and I, there's time and other factors that are involved. But a very powerful part of this whole materializing process is you have to get it off your mind, out of your heart, onto some kind of paper, into something concrete, because that's the beginning of the manifestation itself. And then more and more move yourself to doubtlessness about it, right? And sometimes that's involved. What's involved there is increasing your knowledge about what you're trying to do, answering more and more of your questions about what you're trying to do. It's like, okay, so it's a difference between doubting and having questions. That is to say, how can I improve? How can I increase? How could this be done better? Well, that's the evolutionary process. But if you don't have any questions, you keep trying, you know the old story, you know, you keep trying to do the same thing, expecting a different result. No, it's not going to happen. You need to ask yourself, do I need to do something different? But you're not asking out of doubt or fear or anxiety. You're asking like a scientist. You're asking like Thomas Edison, you know, in terms of, okay, what does it take? Or let's go with Elijah McCoy. You're asking like Elijah McCoy. Say, okay, what do I need to do that? So that's the thing. So first be innocent. Second, seek guidance from Allah. Third, help somebody with what you have to help them with as they need, and then after that you ask Allah for what it is you're asking, what it is that you want. Then Allah will bring that. It's just really so powerful that we just got to get to that place where believing is like breathing, where it's like, I'm not stressed about believing in what it is I'm trying to do. Mm-hmm. There's no stress in it. I believe it. And that's where it's that metaphysical power. It's inversely related to, meaning that the more you have doubt, the weaker you are, right? So the more you reduce your doubts, then that the strength is happening in that place that we can't reach physically. It's happening in that place, and that's what's calling together those elements that will make what you aspire to a reality. You got to trust that. You just got to trust it, you know, belief in the unseen. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm saying that in breaking that down into steps, like after hearing you say this, is these are the questions that we should ask ourselves when moving towards, you know, putting this method into practice. Are you doing it sincerely, or are you doing it transactionally, seeking to have something, or is this a sincere thing? Like, you know, like, no, I don't have this, but I know that this is something that will be benefit for all, right? And moving in that sincere, and then asking Allah to show you how to do it. Like, Allah, show me how to do this thing. Because in the act of doing it, then the way is being, you know, made, because you're actively doing it and with a sincere heart. Right. And you'll find joy in it. You'll find peace in it because of how you chosen to approach it. So knowing that those particular steps as to why, you know, how and why you're seeking to do it, and then being prayerful in every step, like being prayerful through each part of the journey. that is, and being open to how Allah delivers it. Go ahead.
Let me say it. I've been eager, chomping at the bit to get to the part of the subject, not tonight, but in the woman, talking about the woman.
Yeah.
And the universe that the woman is, and I'm just eager to show everybody that it's not hyperbole, it's not rhetoric, it's not rah-rah talk, it's not, you know, in the old language, soup you up kind of talk, you know, it's no.
Mm-hmm.
It's like there's a reality to that. And the Karnata and Karnatal, Karnata, Karnatal, that's a big deal. What caused me to respond to that is the idea of prayer. When we talk about Ar-Rijal Qawwamuna 'ala an-Nisa, God tells man, okay, look, man, in order to be a man, this is what you're supposed to be doing, period. When he talks about the woman in that verse 34 of the fourth chapter, he said, Wasali had to qanit. So he's saying that your reality, the essence of your reality, the most powerful part of your, and the feature that you have to emphasize if you're going to be the woman that I created, because the same thing for the man. If you're going to be the man that I created, these have to be your attributes. Qawwamuna 'ala an-nisa, and you spend out of what Allah has favored you with. That's what you do, right? Boom. All right? So to the primary man that Allah created, that's it. All right? Well, okay. Now the woman has her side of the coin too. Right? And her side of the coin is Qanit. And Qanit has to do with this righteousness. But with the big part of that is the idea of the how close in sound Qanit with soft T and Qanit Thaw with Thaw Vaw. Qanit. One means longstanding in prayer, obedient, etc., and it is to Allah. That's who that obedience is for. But the Qanitah, the Thaw is despair. Despair. So that means that the woman, by your nature and by your situation, there are so many moments and so many situations that are desperate and that can lead to despair. And a lot of that has to do with when men are not what men should be. When men are not what men should be, most times it's the woman that suffers. She suffers his failure. But because Allah has structured our natures in such a way, then many, many times a woman has to suffer the failure of a man to be the man that Allah created. And so there's always the temptation for her to despair, right? But Allah's invitation, by putting those things close together, I say, and Allah knows best, by putting those things so close together phonetically, God is telling you there's a thin line between righteousness and despairing. And God is saying, don't despair. Don't despair.
Yeah.
And that's what the woman, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has also, by the grace of Allah, I'm talking about myself, thinking about your grandmother and my mother, I just keep it in the house where I'm at. It's like what they had to go through. And even what we're talking about, any kind of rare 20th century suffering can be compared to 19th century suffering of,
right,
you know, Hibbalian women. Well, yeah, we still have got some suffering here, but don't you dare compare anything you call suffering right now to what was suffered in the 19th century by your prior generations, right? And so then, you know, you can just run down the list, Ida B. Wells, Sojourner Truth, Harriet Tubman, all the rest of that, you know what I'm saying? Mary McLeod Bethune, and Clara Muhammad, and whatever. The list goes on and on and on. Y'all came through, did not despair, right? Sick and tired of being sick and tired, you know what I'm saying? So the point is that those are Those are the models of the nature that women have to hold on to. And I use historical figures because we have examples of those who made it through despite what they had, and made possible most of what we're experiencing as good today is because they continued to stand, even if it was standing behind her man. That's where she said, "Oh, don't you give up. Don't you give up. You keep going." You know, just like Khadijah did for Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He wasn't trying to give up, but he was just, man, what am I going through? It had to be that woman who did not despair even in that moment and the like. So I'm just saying I'm eager, even though I said part of it, I'm eager to get that. And that's critical. It's just so many women just need to understand. And there are women who say, "I'm tired of being a strong black woman." And, okay. I get it. I understand. I mean, you know, I haven't lived it. I can't say that. But you can't give up being the strong black woman, because that's the only way we got as far as we got. Now, what we have to do is keep putting that pressure on our male counterparts to step up and be the man. Who's going to be the man for your woman if you're not the man for your women? You're not the man for your women. Who's going to be the man for your women? You see what I'm saying? So it's like, that's that. So I'm getting on my soapbox. I'm going to turn the mic back over to you.
There's so many ways to continue to connect that, because in the despair, what it brought to my mind is when Abraham went to his son's home.
Yeah. He's a key figure in this whole thing.
From a voice of despair. Right? And he was like, okay, yeah. Right? So there's so many examples of what you're saying, you know, in the history in the Quran that makes it so very clear that, like, yes, because even Hagar didn't despair. Like, yes, it was a struggle. It was hard, but she didn't despair. She got up and got moving. Like, okay, I don't know what's on that side. I don't know what's on that side. I do know that Allah will not leave me. I know that. So that's all I have to go by. So now I have to activate this body with the belief of knowing, I don't know how Allah is going to show up for me in this moment, but I'm going to find it. I'm not just going to sit here. I'm going to go and find it. So it is that level of motivation that we could see through scripture and historically. That, you know, we've been reading Sister Clara Muhammad's story in her autobiography, there were multiple opportunities to despair, right? But chose not to despair, and she did the work, and the community benefited from it. So we see it in Hagar, a community benefited, right? So I think that it's very important that that in understanding the beauty of what we do, what we have available as women, and then the beauty of what men can do to protect, provide, and preserve that, right? To provide, protect, and preserve that is to step into the earth. Like, it's not to squelch that. It's not to oppress that. It is to provide what is necessary. So, because, you know, what I say to mom, I say to mom all the time, I say, look, whatever prayers you make, you like, put my name in it, because your prayers is holy water. You got holy water in your business. Like, what we doing? Right? Say my name in them, because when she mentions the things that she prays about, it's like, bam, they're powerful in that, and it's something rich in that, you know, and she's a worker in that level of energy that I observe, and I learned from her in the way that she is prayerful, and I'm like, I got to be prayerful in that way. She moves hard and, you know, she moves strong with a strong energy when she's determined to do something. It's there, and then it's like, okay, well, here, boom, here's the rest of it, right? And so I think that when we understand how powerful prayer is for us as a community, and really dive into, you know, it's like everything is so intentional. Like, a lot of it wasn't just happenstance that Uma and Umi are related. It's just not. If you think like, oh, yeah, oh, that was cute, you didn't miss the whole point.
Right.
The point. If you just think
Imam,
that it's just a thing.
Imam, rooted in the feminine.
Come on.
Khalifa is rooted in the feminine. Nafsum Wahida is rooted in the feminine. Everything is saturated with the feminine. We all are in the feminine, right? And I'm telling you, that's one of the things that the shaitan is just trying to just jack up jacking up the minds and the whole thing is he's destroying the natural relationship between man and woman. Now, as obvious as that sounds, but if you fail to understand, that constitutes the destruction of life that Allah intends, right? And so it's like, we're gonna have to move on. We got 5 minutes. there's a whole, because you can see along. There's so many subtleties and commercials and other things that happen where they, actually we know that they've been working on this for decades in terms of breaking 100%. It down just to get people into a condition where the abnormal is normal. That's the goal. Yeah. It's just, where backwards is forward. You know, if you want to be progressive, you got to be backwards, right? And crisscross, right? It's like they were already working on that. But go ahead, sweetie. We got about 5 minutes and then we're gonna have to call it off.
Yeah, no, I say that, pay attention to language. Imam Muhammad Lang Lang is the imam of language,
mm-hmm.
And the communication in how we consume words and how we deliver them. Will make all of the difference in our life. And to utilize the Quran as that resource for our language and really identifying what is very specific and unique to who we are that makes us the individual. It strengthens the individual because you are a part of a collective community.
Right.
So it's like we are only as strong, as we did say, as strong as your weakest link, right?
Yeah, the weakest link.
So
each
individual that makes us a community is like, let's focus on the strength of you as the individual.
Right.
Like, be the best you could be. Be the best.
Right.
Like, stop pointing the finger. Well, so-and-so ain't doing that. That person ain't doing this. Why they won't do that? Hold on. Pause.
Yeah.
Where are you
at
in this being the most strongest, best upstanding you that you are? Because it is in that that we build a strong and full community.
Absolutely. I was thinking about that picture that's behind you there, the praying woman, the praying woman. Just flip a little bit and point your finger towards it. That's right there. It's like this is is ebony. Which one?
Ayana.
That does the artwork.
Ayana.
That picture when I first saw it, that's a classic. There is no Venus de Milo or you think about whatever the classic or who Mona Lisa and whoever you got as a message sending piece of art, that's it right there. That's Karnit right there, right? Very, very, very important. Huh? In fact, that got me so much, I forgot there was another thing that I was going to say. but that's really important. Yeah, my mind is kind of distracted on something else right now. But in case, so that's very important. Mashallah, whatever Allah intends, we'll get back to it. It's powerful in terms of the woman and the role of the woman, significance of the woman. Gotta let it go. Gotta let it go. All right, we're gonna have to cut this time short. It's always a blessing, no matter what amount of time we spend together. We pray that we've been of benefit to those who spend time with us today. And inshallah, we'll be back with a full serving next week. Inshallah. I love peace to all of you. Everybody have a wonderful day. Night. Assalamu alaikum.
Alaikum assalamu alaikum.